Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Bradley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Ms. Megan Bierman. Okay, honey, she is an expert in mental health. And today she's coming to share with us eating disorders. So many times we have people who are walking around in private pain that we never know. So today we're taking off the cover, we're revealing and talking a little bit more about eating disorders. Thank you so much, Ms. Megan, for coming. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm truly excited about this because I feel like this is the one thing many people don't know about. And I feel like we've become so good in a society of hiding and not talking about eating disorders that we leave a whole population and segment of society out because we don't think it's affecting us. So I really want to get into this today. But before I do, you know, I got to be a little nosy. What's your story?
So my story started, I always struggled with anxiety in high school and everything. And then when I was 18 and 19, I was in an abusive relationship, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I myself ended up with anorexia. In about a two to three month period, I lost 30 pounds, which I was a college athlete. So that was not weight that I had to lose. And it was just really a control thing for me. I wanted to control something because I didn't have control of a lot of things in my life because of that relationship. And went on and got, I ended up, was in that relationship until 2005. And then I got out of that relationship and ended up meeting my ex-husband. Again, not a very good situation, but I ended up getting my master's degree in counseling and have kind of fallen into a lot of my specialties, but there are things that once I, it was obvious that once they fell into my lap, it was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was, you know, with addiction and trauma and eating disorders. So that's kind of my story.
So I want to go back for a second because you mentioned the word that I know a lot of people may not be aware of. You said that you were dealing with anorexia. What is that?
So anorexia is basically most people will think of anorexia as not eating. And so there's different aspects to it.
Go a little deeper in that for me.
Okay. So anorexia is... all eating disorders are psychological. And so anorexia is a lot of times someone, they won't eat like they should. They won't have healthy eating. They'll eat smaller portions. And it's not so much that, you know, I know with dieting, a lot of times it's smaller portions, but this is to the effect that they're not getting the nutrients that they need. And so it's affecting them physically, like their health as well, but it's also a psychological thing because a lot of times when someone is anorexic, just the thought of food will make them sick.
So I want to get a visual because so many times people think when you talk about, and you even mentioned it, losing weight, they talk about smaller portion size. This is not portion control. This is portion control to the extreme where you're literally not even getting enough nutrients and vitamins and minerals in your diet at all.
Absolutely.
So as you're talking about this, and I'm hearing you kind of go back, I'm going to go back into your story and dig a little bit more. You said for you, this was something that showed up in the midst of being in a abusive relationship. In this relationship, you said a key word that really stuck out to me. You said it was about control, being able to control what you couldn't control. Would you say that most of the eating disorders line up with not having control of other parts of your life?
Absolutely. And it's an addiction, just like, you know, just like alcohol, just like drugs, anything like that, because even when someone is in recovery from an eating disorder, when things get chaotic in other areas of their life, when things get out of control, their mind, they go back to what they can control.
Wow. It's it's so interesting to hear about it. And I know, you know, for a lot of us, our big thing is I can control this piece. I can control this piece. And in the midst of this pandemic, it's been a lot of stuff. I don't know about anybody else, but in the midst of this pandemic, there's been a lot that you really don't have control over in reference to how maybe your state may have handled the mandates, how you've been able to go back and forth, maybe even the working situation. Did you find that there was an uptick in eating disorders?
Yes. There's been a lot of, I think with mental health in general, with everything, especially, I know, because I was working with children. I was working with an agency where I just worked with children when COVID first hit. And I know that the hospitalization rates skyrocketed.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it was next to impossible to even find a bed.
Wow.
And it did, you know, the eating disorders. And I had clients that had been doing so well, and then COVID hit and they're like, okay, you have to isolate yourself to your house. And that's the worst thing you can do for someone with a mental health issue.
Yes, I agree. Totally.
And oh, so God. I had clients that, like I said, had been doing so well, and then COVID hit and it's like, they just went, they regressed.
So in this situation with this, because I always say it's important to have that circle to help you pull you through these times. You saw with your own eyes, and it's amazing because I don't work with the children. I work with the adults now due to my former career with children. And to see how the lockdowns, the mandates, all of this connected with the kids, you saw that the hospitalization, the mental health hospitalizations went up. Were there some things that you would, well, are there some things you would advise for parents to help to limit that?
Obviously, I mean, the big thing is get them out of their rooms, get them off of the electronics, get them outside. I live in Arkansas and I live in an area we have mountains that have hiking trails, and I live really, you know, by a lake. And so that's one of the things that I always tell them, I'm like, get them outside, take them for a hike, take them to the lake, take them somewhere, you know, just get them out of the house, get them. Of course, now, you know, I don't know how things are everywhere else, but here, you know, the mandates have, you know, lifted and all this other stuff. And so it's not as, you know, strict, and you can get your kids together and everything like that. But when things were closed, and that's what I would tell the parents, you know, get them out of the house, get them somewhere, you know, take them outside. This is like the perfect time.
So I love that you use this, what I call, you use what I call, you know, move your mind, move your body, you know,
exactly,
and making some things happen. What I do like is that you kind of talk about getting them moving. I want to dig a little deeper. You talked about social media. Social media seems to play such a huge part in life for everything these days. But I found that social media in some places can be a very dark place for people with eating disorders, because there are actual groups that I'm seeing kind of pop up. And I was just wondering if you can kind of give a little information about that as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, social media, the media, entertainment, you know, celebrities. I mean, a lot of times we're dealing with, you know, there's this expectation. They see their role models, for lack of a better word, they see them and how they look, and they want to look just like that. Also on social media, I mean, nobody posts their worst day on social media. You know, there may be people that do, but most people are going to put their best face forward. And then there are so many apps. Like, I found an app that you can literally take a picture of yourself and you can edit it so much that, like, you can like shrink your face, like you can make yourself look so much different. And I mean, how often do we see these pictures on social media where there's so many filters put in it? And so these are what our kids are seeing, and their thought is, well, their life is perfect. They look so good. Mm. What does that, you know, what's wrong with me kind of thing?
So I really love that we're having this conversation, because you know, I find that so many things are happening online. It may start online, but it ends up offline, and it's affecting us in ways we would never imagine. And as you said, you know, I truly always believe nobody posts, as you said, nobody posts their worst day. Everybody posts their Facebook fantasy picture or their IG I'm great picture, basically is what I call it. Yep. Nobody really tells you about the day that, you know, I sucked. Nobody really talks about that day. Maybe I lost my job. Nobody talks about that. You hear the great stories and the excitement, but you don't hear the days when people are like, I don't want to get up. It's Monday. Mm-hmm. And I find that with our teens, tweens, and kids now, it's become such a thing of having to be on, that I have to be on in these moments, and that everything has to seem great even when it's not. What have you noticed, even offline in the therapy sessions? Have you noticed that there have been a lot more kids in this process of dying to be perfect?
Yeah, and there's a lot of bullying going on. A lot of, you know, the cyberbullying obviously is always there. But I've noticed a lot of bullying with my clients and everything, and just being able to, because it's hard, no matter, you know, your parents could be telling you positive things, your close friends can be telling you positive things, but even when you have one person that's constantly tearing you down, constantly calling you names, telling you everything wrong with you, or everything they think's wrong with you, it's hard to eliminate that and focus on all the positive, even when the positive outweighs the negative.
So as we've heard, and there have been comedians who've said, you know, how can you be cyberbully? Just turn the computer off. Just turn this off. You're saying it's not as easy as just turning the device off, because that's coming with you on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what happens to our kids' heads. The negative, well, everyone's, I think it happens to adults too, but the negative things that we hear, they almost become our inner voice.
Wow.
And so being able to, that's one of the things that I love working with people on, is that mindset, and being able to change that mindset in the thought process, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, the thoughts lead to feelings, lead to behaviors. And that's really, I mean, being able to change the thought patterns is going to be the most beneficial, because we take those negative things and that we insert those into our own self-talk.
So give me a couple good tips, because I love that you're talking about CBT and cognitive behavioral therapy. I love that you're talking about it, because so many people don't realize they do go together. If I have this moment, they all line up. So what are some tips, and give me some little easy little how-tos of how I can work on changing my mindset?
So there's always the positive affirmations. And the way I always do this with my clients is I tell them, you know, don't write down things that you know, because it's really hard for them at that moment to find positive things about themselves when they're just so down. And so I tell them, you know, what do you want? What do you want in your life? How do you want to be perceived? And I'll have them start writing that down, and then I'll have them change it. I'm like, okay, well, let's change it from I want it to be, or I want to be good enough, or I want to be, you know, I want to have an A in this class, to changing it to almost like the law of attraction. You speak it into existence. So changing it into, I am good enough, and I do have an A in math or whatever that is, you know, and it's so, and then just using that and saying those things to yourself, you know, in the morning and at night. And I usually challenge them to say it in the mirror. A lot of times that's very awkward for them at first. And so I'll tell them, if you can't do it in the mirror right now, just do it to yourself. But I want them to work up to being able to say it in the mirror.
Talk to me about the power of the mirror, because I believe that too. That's one of my big things of being in that mirror. It's something about it. But you talk to me about the power of the mirror for you in this exercise.
So it's just being able to look at yourself, look yourself in the eye, and having that connection. And I don't know this for sure because it's kind of over my head, but the way I see it is you're looking at yourself in the eye in the mirror, and it's almost like somebody is looking back at you telling you those things instead of, you know, because yes, you're saying it, but you're seeing yourself saying it back to you.
I love it. I think that's amazing because so many times, especially if you're dealing with somebody who's having a moment in those areas, it's like the mirror becomes your enemy because all you see is what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pick this up, but I got to stop and do a little quick. Hey, what's going on in this world with me? So I just want to stop for a moment. I want to share, y'all. Listen, so I am taking this moment to pause and share what's going on in the Patrice Brantley world. So here's what you need to know. I'm in the process of ending my current contract with my company, and I am moving into full-time entrepreneurship and full-time ministry. And for this, I'm going to need y'all help. Let me just tell y'all up front. I need y'all help. I need y'all to help cheerlead me on. I need y'all to really put it out there and say, hey, you could do this. But you know what? I also need y'all to go ahead and donate in too, you know, because I want to use this time to get in and change the minds. I want to get out here and impact the world and do great work. So I want you to join me over at the Seed Sowing Movement so that we can get together and change the lives of these young kids, help mentor some kids, help go out and do some mental health services for free because some people can't afford it. So we want to make sure everybody has access to a healthy and whole life. All right, y'all, this is just my two moments, my little moment and second of stopping and let you know what's happening in Brantley Happenings. Y'all, we have to jump back into this. When I tell you, I am loving this conversation about the power of the mirror and talking to yourself and being positive and putting it out there and getting into it. Man, I'm telling y'all, listen, y'all go check out Miss Megan, honey. She's giving me good word here, good word. Let's keep going. So now you're in this mirror. So here I am. I'm changing my mindset. I'm in the mirror. I'm saying I am going to be. I am. I'm putting this in here. What's my next steps?
So I'm very kind of going back to the mirror. It's yes. Very visual. And so one of the things that I'll have them do is find things that represent what they want, whether that's a picture, whether that is even just, you know, it could be a coin, like say they're, this could be, you know, for an adult or a kid, I guess, but, you know, say they're, they have a financial goal. So they have this, you know, silver dollar or something, you know, that's that memory thing for them. And just finding something visual that is going to be that constant reminder of what they're working for.
So as you talked about the coin, the first thing I kind of thought about, and I'm going to use that one. Okay. I really like the coin because the first thing I thought of was probably on my coin, I would put I am valued. And so many people, when you see those things, it's like, oh, yeah, you know what, I am valued. You know, so I love that piece. So give me one last one, and then I got to move into something else. I'm loving this. This is good. This is good. Give me some more.
It kind of goes into the goal setting as well, because they have this, basically when they're doing those positive affirmations, they're setting goals.
Okay.
And so they're setting those small goals and everything like that. And so you're helping them. Okay. What are the steps? What do you have to do daily? It's not just putting it out into the universe of saying, this is who I am. This is what I want. It's setting those goals and setting those small goals and being able to figure out, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do daily to get where I want to be?
Here's the key. I love how you talk about the daily, because in this social media world, we see the beginning. We see the end. We totally don't get to see those steps that happen in between, those baby steps, those moments of, okay, I got my first sale. We see the first sale, but we don't see what happens after you got the first sale. We don't see that moment of, you know what, maybe this month wasn't so great, but hey, I'm still rocking. I'm still pushing. So I love that you kind of build in the model that you're talking about, the goal setting.
Well, and I also tell them, because a lot of times people will set those small goals to to reach that big goal. And then, you know, say at the end of the week or at the end of the month, however, whatever their deadline is, they get to that point and they get discouraged because they maybe they didn't reach it completely. And so I really get them to focus on, okay, you didn't meet it completely, but what did you accomplish? Looking at how far they have come, not necessarily kind of going back to the positive aspect, not don't look at what you didn't accomplish, look at what you did accomplish. Okay, you still need to meet this, you know, to get the rest of that goal met. So let's adjust it for next month.
So what I'm hearing in this is I'm going to be focusing on the progress, not the outcome.
Exactly.
Man, I'm loving this. Okay, so now, as a community mommy, what are some things I can look for to know if my babies are struggling in this area of eating disorders? What would be some of the things I could look for?
There's going to be a lot of anxiety, a lot of times, especially around mealtime. They may find excuses to not be around during mealtime, or reasons to be excused. A lot of times, if it's a lot of times when it is anorexia, they'll wear a lot of baggy clothes because they don't like the way their body looks. And so they try to hide it. They wear the baggy clothes where you can't really see anything. With bulimia, which is the purging. And so a lot of times there will be a lot of dental issues. The dentist will actually see this a lot of times and be able to recognize, because the stomach acid will start to deteriorate the enamel in the teeth.
Wow. Okay, so this is something to ask. So even in making sure you do your dental care and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
If your dentist is seeing anything, what are some of the things we may see the actual person do? So now you're telling me if I'm an anorexic, there may be issues where they're wearing the clothes. Are there any other signs that we may see? Like, for example, would they be doing a little bit more running or exercising? Would they probably be doing anything in that area?
They could be, exercising a lot, almost excessively. And it's almost a compulsive and obsessive, really. They, like I said, they're eating, you'll really see a big change in their eating pattern, in their routine. And maybe even with their friends, because a lot of times if their friends are saying, hey, I'm noticing this, they may start to kind of cutting ties with their friends if their friends are starting to kind of be able to notice things that they're not wanting to acknowledge.
So it's important that we even look at the friendship circle to see if some things are changing.
Yeah.
Wow. What would be something we would possibly see if they're binging?
So a lot of times that will happen when there's either no one in the house, or they'll do it late at night when nobody's up. There will be a lot of food disappearing. They'll be hiding food, because what they will do is they will almost hoard food to the point that they will eat so much that they will make themselves throw up. And a lot of times you'll see anorexia and the binging and purging going together, because someone will, you know, not eat, and then they'll eat. Well, and not always necessarily the binging, but they'll eat after a while, and then they'll get guilty. They'll feel guilty or ashamed or something that they ate. And so they'll make themselves throw up. And then a lot of times with binging, it's an emotional thing. I'm stressed out, or I'm angry, or somebody, you know, did something to me. And so they just eat their feelings. Basically, they'll just binge. And then it kind of goes back to the shame and the guilt and all this other stuff. If I can't believe I just ate all that, I can't believe I did that. And then they'll make themselves throw up.
So I heard you talk about a couple of things, three major emotions that have kept coming up as we've been talking. You've been talking about shame, guilt, and anxiety. Are there some, do you have any particular techniques or any strategies that we can take with us today in our toolbox to talk about how we can minimize the anxiety?
When you're dealing with eating disorders, the anxiety is something that you have to work. So when you're treating eating disorders, you do a lot of family therapy because you're helping the parents realize that they can't control. The more they try to control their child's eating, the more obviously it's a control thing. So if they're trying to tell their child, you have to sit here, you have to eat your entire plate, you have to do this, it's not going to go well. And so a lot of the anxiety, like I said, revolves around food. And so looking at ways to help the parents understand, okay, these are the triggers. And then also being able to have those coping skills, doing the grounding techniques, doing, the deep breathing, doing a lot of the things that we already do with anxiety, but it's being able to identify and being able to recognize that the anxiety is coming from the food. And so it's really going to come down. So the big thing is parents will a lot of times think, well, my child doesn't want help, or my child isn't ready to work on it. With eating disorders, it doesn't matter. If you recognize an eating disorder, get them into treatment, because there's so many dangers that come with eating disorders. You have anorexia, like I said, that when your body's not getting the nutrients, your body is going to eventually start taking it from other areas, and your body could start shutting down. With bulimia, that's one of the things, like, you have to work very closely with a dietitian, as well as their PCP, because with bulimia, you want them to have regular blood work, because somebody who is bulimic, their potassium level could drop. And if their potassium level drops, there have been people that have just, I mean, basically, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, they've dropped dead, basically. I mean, just because their potassium level will drop and it'll be so low that it's very, very dangerous. And so, I know I just went completely off topic on that with the anxiety.
No, but this is important, because I have to say, I think so many times people don't know the extent that it can go. So I don't think that it's off topic. I think it actually is right on topic, because we don't realize that, yes, it's an anxiety-based concern, mm-hmm. or disorder, I should say, but in it, people don't realize how deep it can go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, and, you know, like I said, I was anorexic when I was 18 and 19 years old, and I still deal with hypoglycemia. Like, my blood sugar, if I don't, like, my body basically told me, you can't do this anymore. Like, if I don't eat certain times, like, my blood sugar will drop and I will get really sick. And it's basically stems from my body's reaction to not eating for so long. And but the thing to really look at with eating disorders is, it's, like I said, it's an addiction. It's an addiction, because like I said, that was 18, 19 years old. I'm 36 now. And there's still times where, when things seem out of control and things seem chaotic, I have to be very aware of myself. And there's times where I have to make myself eat, even though I really don't want to, but I have to make myself do it. And so it's having that self-awareness.
I thank you for coming and sharing and being so open and vulnerable about your own story to help us change lives with other people in their story, especially in this area about eating disorders. How can we connect with you and get more information and get some resources going? What can we do?
Yep. Well, I am on Facebook, Emerging Hope Therapy. I have a YouTube channel that I do. It's under Emerging Hope Therapy as well. And then I also have a blog that is Emerging from the Stigma.
This is awesome. Y'all go check her out. This has been Ms. Megan Bierman. She has given me such good information today to go and know how I can go help my community babies. I thank y'all so much. Listen, y'all tell a friend about this, because we're out here changing lives and making an impact to change the face of mental health and to get it out here to be actually spoken about. Thank y'all so much for taking the time to come and connect today with me. Y'all know how this goes. Thank y'all for being here. The Patrice Brantley Show, We're Helping Others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.